Now, say my name.
It's Matt Coon!
You're goddamn right.
Welcome to Total Engagement with me, Matt Coon, right here on the MLW Radio Network, brought to you by our good friends over there at WrestleZone.com. It is your daily wrestling fix every single day. Just hit us up at night or in the morning when you wake up, and we'll be here every single day. And we got short little update shows where we're not going to waste your time. We're going to touch on the biggest issues or the most interesting issues, or once in a while I'll drop a show on you like crime and wrestling or the greatest angle ever or WWTF or whatever we choose to do that particular day. But if you want some extra stuff, for instance, the Raw review for the Raw that just happened with that insane Lana Rusev angle, go ahead and head on over to our Patreon, patreon.com/totalengage. Let me say that again, patreon.com/totalengage. All kinds of bonus content coming up after our levels are announced, probably tomorrow or on Halloween Day. And we're going to try to do a great job for you, but also it helps support the show. I do the show every day and got to pay the bills somehow. Help out Total Engagement, help support a fan podcast for you fans, by the fans, Total Engagement. And today, we're not hiding, we're not running. We are going to discuss the Jordan Miles t-shirt controversy and what it says about wrestling fans, white and people of color. That's right. Fuck it. Let's piss off everybody. Today on Total Engagement. That's right. I'm going to try to do something good today and try to get to the bottom of this issue for all wrestling fans. And at the worst, I piss off everybody. Everybody hates me. And, you know, we just move on from there. Or the intent will come through and maybe we'll get some understanding of how everybody thinks. So to recap the issue, which had some developments today, by the way, there was a shirt that was supposed to be released by NXT, which showed a smile with teeth reminiscent of offensive, dehumanizing, old, racist, racial stereotypes of African-Americans that used to be prevalent in a very racist society in the 20th century, earlier in the 20th century. And it was something that anybody who was looking for, or anybody who had a, you know, a mind to see it would pick up. And honestly, something I didn't pick up when I first saw it, didn't see it. But once I saw it, once it was pointed out by Jordan Miles yesterday on Twitter, I was like, holy shit. Now, Jordan Miles is an NXT talent. I've seen him wrestle a bunch under his name, ACH. He's a great wrestler, a high flyer, just a good indie wrestler. I'm not a guy who can really dissect styles or that kind of thing, but he was one of these guys where I'm like, oh, he's going to be signed. Like, he was really good. And then you hear he was signed by WWE to be an NXT, and sure, you're like, okay, great, that's the place for him. And he won the Breakout Superstar tournament, and then we didn't hear much from him. And I would say a month after the t-shirt was designed was when these tweets came out. And he said, this is what he tweeted. He tweeted, "They'll regret making this hashtag for the culture. I will keep posting this until my voice is heard. I am not sorry for anything I say or do. Representation is important. If this is Vince McMahon and Triple H's vision," and he tagged them, "of me, then this is a slap in the face to every African-American performer, fan, and performer." Now, he said a couple other things as well, but basically he's saying this is racist. It should never have been designed. WWE made a statement that said, "Albert Hardy Jr., a.k.a. Jordan Miles, approved this t-shirt for sale. As always, we work collaboratively with all of our performers to develop logos and merchandise designs and get their input and approval before proceeding. This was the same process with Albert, and we responded swiftly once he later requested the logo/t-shirt be redesigned. No t-shirts were sold." Let's talk about that statement for a little bit. I ain't calling anybody out for a liar or not telling the truth, but I think it's pretty common knowledge that there's some wrestlers who had no input into their designs. There's been some clips online of some NXT talent who have said they had no idea that these shirts were designed. And there's also, you know, a quote by Neville who said, "What the fuck is this shirt?" when it was on the WWE shop. And some other people who said they didn't realize they had a shirt until they saw it up in the WWE shop.com. And I'm not saying those people are lying. I'm just saying, I don't know if that's congruent with the statement that all of our performers develop logos and merchandise designs with us and we get their input, blah, blah, blah. ACH, Jordan Miles, responded to Twitter this morning and responded to a fan who asked if the WWE statement was true. He said, "When I originally saw the design, I was uncomfortable. Rather than addressing the issue, I decided to counteroffer with another." Now, that's consistent, right? He's saying, "I didn't like it at first. I tried to counter the offer." But what happened then is he calls out this guy, Baker Landon. And Baker Landon is a guy who works with WWE in designing stuff for NXT. And he's got a big title with NXT, even though he's very young. And he says, "Baker Landon lied to my face!" Exclamation point. He said Triple H wanted this design, so my hands were tied. I spoke with Triple H in person, and his impression was I improved. And in another tweet, Myers included a screenshot of his email from Baker Landon and told him GFYS, which I think means go fuck yourself. And it showed an email, this email that he posted online, and he probably shouldn't. I mean, you just can't do that. I've done that, by the way. I did that briefly for a second when I was pissed off at somebody I've talked about on the show who lied about me. And I said, "Oh yeah, well, here's an email we sent." And someone's like, "Dude, that's not cool." And I'm like, "I guess you're right. That isn't cool. But here's the email. It was on September 11th of this year. And it was from Baker that said, 'Hey, Albert, Triple H attended a meeting and had a revision for your logo, but loved it for your character. He wanted to the letter to be more, quote unquote, teethy. And what I've attached is what he liked. Also have basic t-shirts on there that he approved as well. Road Dogg said he preferred the gray. But let us know what you think. Thanks, Baker.'" It sounds like Road Dogg knew what was up, right? Like, he preferred the gray. Anything but the black. Landon Baker's title is the digital designer and creative services talent coordinator for WWE. And he recently deleted his LinkedIn page right after this shit came out. And then ACH wasn't done. Jordan Miles wasn't done. He posted in all caps on Twitter, "The whole WWE system is fraud. They created the system where you can't trust anyone. You grow cold and you grow apart from what you love the most. The fact that Hulk Hogan is still employed after giving the locker room an apology for being caught says enough for the culture," unquote. And then he tweeted a video where he said, and I saw this video before it was deleted, he said WWE doesn't care about black people, which I think was a Kanye throwback. And he also flipped off the camera. And then lastly today, he tweeted a photo of Jay Lethal in Ring of Honor, and he wrote, "Fuck Ring of Honor 2. The only one African-American to be the top guy, while guys like Cedric Alexander, Malcolm Velley, who is now in NXT as well, and myself had to chase this visible carrot a stick. Name another African-American who has reached great heights other than this Uncle Tom." That's fucking crazy, right? Like, that's hard. And then he deleted that tweet, but a fan wrote to him and said, "This is getting ridiculous. Oh, I forgot you're perfect and have never made a mistake, right? No one is holding a gun to your head and making you stay. Leave and do something else if that's horrible. That shirt was not made for the reasons you were saying." And he responded, ACH responded, "I'm far from perfect. I'm willing to do anything for the job of my dreams and make things work for both parties. I only agreed to the shirt because it was shown to me on a white tee. Once placed on a black tee, you can clearly see the racist intentions." And that's, I think, the end that we've heard from him. So let's talk about this. Let's talk about the timeline a little bit, and let's talk about the fallout as far as what his fans believe. It appears to me he was given the shirt. He didn't like the shirt right away. He saw it, but he saw it on white, and maybe that didn't bring home to him the super racist look. To say racist intentions, I think, is going too far. I think it could be racially ignorant. It's definitely racially insensitive. And the fact that it was let out, the fact that it was released, the fact that it was okay, the fact that there's no one in the room who can say, "Hey, this is a bad idea," that is racist in itself. It doesn't matter if it's intended to be racist for it to be racist. For instance, someone wanted to call Mark Henry a silverback. Okay. Extremely racist, right? We all can agree on that. There's a possibility the person who suggested that wasn't thinking racially. I know what you're saying. I know what you're saying. That's crazy, but it's possible. And I know I'm going to get myself in trouble here by trying to look at both sides of this, but I'm going to go ahead and try. So let's do this. Okay. Goodbye, podcast. It was nice. It was a nice podcast. If you're white, listen to me. Just listen to me if you're white. Okay. I'm white. I am very, very, very white. And just listen to me. If you can imagine, close your eyes and imagine what it would be like to grow up African-American. Imagine not the experience or how you grew up, not culturally, but historically. And imagine the things you would have to learn about your people. Imagine the ages where you first discover certain things about the history of people that look like you. Imagine how you would feel about them. Imagine how that would affect you growing up as a kid, learning about slavery, learning about Emmett Till, learning about fire hoses and lunch counters and lynchings and, you know, everything. Imagine what it would look like to learn all this or live through it and get to a point where Barack Obama became president. It doesn't mean none of that other stuff existed. And it doesn't mean when you see something that's racist, you're not right in pointing it out. It also means that you might see things as threatening or racist that a white person might not see. This is a good example. This was under my radar. Like, I saw it, and I just thought it was another shitty t-shirt. But when I saw it next to the caricature that Jordan Miles posted yesterday, I without a doubt was like, holy crap, that's racist. And it doesn't matter if it's intended to be as racist. The fact that there's no African-American in the room who can be like, guys, no, look at this fucking shit. At the same time, guys, I'm still talking to the white guys. At the same time, guys, you have to understand that these are African-American wrestlers, African-American wrestling fans, and they have been subjected to, you know, from the times I started watching wrestling, where every black guy had a harder head than the white guys. Like, every black guy. Every single black guy, if you headbutted him, you would hurt your head. That's the narrative. Of course, that's not real. Nobody has a harder head. But that is what was done on screen, from the Junkyard Dog to Tony Atlas to the Samoans to anybody of color. If you had a headbutt, or you tried to, oh, God forbid, you tried to do a noggin knocker, or God forbid, you tried to put their head against a turnbuckle. You take that all the way through things like Triple H and blackface twice. You take that all the way through the Mexicools. You take that all the way through Vince McMahon saying the N-word. You take it all the way through these little things, the Booker T deal, the Booker T push, and the fact that he didn't win, and that it was guys like you will never win this kind of title. Guys like you, people like you will never beat people like me, that kind of shit. As a black wrestling fan, once again, I'm still talking to the white guys. If you're thinking about what it's like to be a black wrestling fan and you're going through that, you're going to be, your antenna's going to be up. And when you see this shit, it's hard for you not to think that, hey, this is intentionally racist. At the very least, this is guys not giving a fuck about what looks racist and what doesn't. Oh, and calling Mark Henry a silverback. We could do this all day. There's Triple H acting like a gorilla when Mark Henry walked to the ring. There's so many things like that. So, and I know, let me get to the other side too. Okay, so that's me just talking to the white guys. People of color, my African-American friends, I want you to try and just imagine what it's like to be white, just for a second. This is for understanding. It's considered an experiment. You can say, fuck you, and turn this shit off. But I just want you to try this for a second. Imagine you're a white dude, you grew up in a white family, and you don't have a racist thought in your body. You don't have a racist person in your family. Now, I'll be honest with you. There are a lot of fucking secret racists in this world that don't act racist about around black people, but they're totally racist. So I get that you're like maybe doubting this, but just I'm telling you, there's a lot of white people like that. So imagine that you're a white guy who has never, you know, uttered a racial profanity or had friends or tolerated friends who did, or, you know, you lived in what you thought was a colorblind world. There are people like that. And then if you were to see something like this, and you say, I don't see it's racist, why you got to make it racist? Now, as Rich Fan said on the show, how could you not make it about race, right? And I know that's an important perspective. But a white guy who has lived his whole life, never been racist, never, you know, pushed somebody aside at a lunch counter, never involved in a hate crime. And when he sees something like this, he might say, hey, people are looking to be racist. Now, those people, I agree, they need to be educated. They do, because there's a historical context there that we're not understanding because our life experience. But it doesn't help anything if our goal is pure racial harmony, and for some people, racial justice or whatever it is. But let's say that the ultimate goal is a level playing field and people judging each other on the content of their character, not the color of their skin. Let's say that's the goal. If that's the goal, then if somebody makes that kind of statement saying, hey, I'm not sure this is racist, it doesn't mean that person is a racist motherfucker. Because what that does, and I'm not saying it's wrong or right, but what that does to us white people sometimes, not me, but some white people, is it puts us on the defensive. Now, it's true there is this thing called white fragility out there. You should Google it, white fragility. And what it means is that white people are very uncomfortable with things about race. It's very true. And part of that is, I believe, in these cases where simple ignorance, simple not knowing about racially sensitive issues such as a blackface-looking smile, Jordan Miles thing, I think sometimes when the pushback is so hard to people that are literally ignorant about it, it puts people on the defensive and makes the issue look like something that it's not. Now, I'm not saying you got to explain racism to white people, and I know you're on Twitter all the time, and white people can be terrible on there saying things like, you know, you're race baiting and all this shit and having no understanding and being proud of their ignorance. I understand that. But at the same time, I would like you maybe if you feel like it, think about what a white person is thinking when they're watching this. Now, you might not care. You might not care. You might be like, they are not part of the disenfranchised, historically disenfranchised segment of society. But if the goal is racial harmony, the goal is judging people on the content of their character, not the color of their skin, then maybe understanding can go a little bit both ways. It definitely needs to go a lot one way. And now I'm done talking to us separately. Let's bring us all together in the same room. So everybody in the same room, let us kind of come to this agreement here. Now, the fact is, Jordan Miles, according to PW Insider, has not been at the Performance Center. Jordan Miles has been gone for a few weeks. The timing is a month later, and for whatever reason, that's the timing. Let's not make that the issue. Let's get rid of that as the issue. Let's also get rid of as the issue what the intent was. Let's go ahead and make the issue that something like this should not have gotten out and that someone has the right to be offended about it because it's offensive, because it is offensive. Not someone's offended. It's just fucking bad and it's disrespectful and it's indicative of a more racial past. And it's indicative of white people maybe harboring some underlying racial tendencies. And I think we all need to come together and just realize that and come together and say, hey, these shirts were bad. The WWE's response, instead of saying like, hey, you know what? We unknowingly and ignorantly designed something that was racially insensitive. We're going to do better. Here's the steps we're going to take. I think we all can agree the WWE should have done that. And I think we all agree that maybe Jordan Miles should not have called Jay Lethal and Uncle Tom. I don't know Jay Lethal backstage, but I do know a couple people who know him, and they think the world of this guy, like the world of this guy. I don't know anybody who knows ACH, but I'm sure there are people who love ACH too. I'm just saying that you might have lost me a little bit by going after Jay Lethal. But again, let's not get distracted with that from the issue of the t-shirt. Let's stay on track with the t-shirt okay? Let's not get distracted by what he said about Jay Lethal or the fact it was a month later or anything else. As we're all in the same room, all wrestling fans of all colors in the same room, let's agree that we can communicate freely with each other without being name-called. Let's agree that we can respect each other's viewpoints from a racial perspective. Let's agree that white people should not explain racism to black people. Can we get that one on the table? And let's all come together as wrestling fans, black and white and Asian and Hispanic and LGBTQ and straight, wrestling fans all around the world of all types, shapes, colors, creeds, sexual orientations, and all walks of life, and agree on one thing. That Hell in a Cell ending was fucking stupid. Fucking stupid. Guys, let's work together for this shit. Let's be good wrestling fans, and let's work towards a better wrestling world. And maybe then, believe it or not, the whole world. Because we don't want the kind of division that we've seen in fucking football with the Colin Kaepernick issue. We don't want that kind of division. We need to understand each other and listen to each other so that we don't have that kind of division, so that we can be unified towards one thing, knowing that the Hell in a Cell finish was fucked up. And I'm sorry, I had to lighten up a little bit. And guys, I'm sorry this went on a little bit long. If you have some feedback, hit me up over at Total Engage Show on Twitter or at Matt Coon Music. If you want to hear my Raw review, it's going to be up on patreon.com/totalengage. That's patreon.com/totalengage. You can get the Raw review, you get the SmackDown review, the AEW review, and the NXT review, all for just $2 through the end of the month. That's a pretty good deal. And it's a pretty good deal. I get to talk to y'all, and I have such great wrestling friends. We're all wrestling friends here, and I'm going to talk to y'all wrestling friends tomorrow on Total Engagement with me, Matt Coon.